are going to talk a little bit about leading volunteer musicians. Before we do that, I just wanted to ask, you know, in my experience, sometimes when I go to seminars, when I go to conferences and things like that, and I look at a seminar title, and it's not a real descriptive title. This is not real descriptive. I like it when people have some sort of sub-description, and I thought about doing that, and I didn't for whatever reason, but I hate it when I go to one and they don't talk about what I thought they were going to talk about, and I don't want to leave because that'd be rude, but so I want to hear some feedback from you. Not necessarily saying I'm going to change what I'm going to talk about, but I might try to adapt a little bit. What are some of the things y'all were interested in or thinking you were going to come hear about as it pertains to leading volunteer musicians? Just what are you interested in talking about today? Okay. Okay. So people, the people side. Great. What else? How many would agree you're interested in kind of that, like just, you know, the whole people, you know, dealing with people. What other things?
Maybe insight ways to help our musicians, kind of coach them, suggest what we're trying, better communicate what we're trying to get from them.
Good, good. Like figuring out what language they speak,
yeah.
To how to.
Because I'm finding out that each instrument speaks a different language.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we'll try to talk about that some in here. I didn't necessarily have that specifically in my notes, but just as an aside, you know, even within the same instrument, I have one piano player that I might have to say, hey, this is measure 71. When it does that syncopated rhythm on pushing into beat 3. And there's another one I go, it's that part of the song where it says King of Kings. And we kind of go King of Kings instead of King of Kings. And they go, oh, okay, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
You have to learn what their vocabulary is. That's good. What else? What other things y'all were hoping to talk about today? Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good deal. Yeah, we'll talk about that some. How many of you have the opportunity to like practice? Like aside from just, okay, we're going to meet 10 minutes before Sunday school starts and go through it, but you actually have a time where you're going to rehearse. How many have the opportunity to do that? Okay, a lot of us, good. How many, not so much, it just doesn't happen, okay? And that, you know, hey, what works in your setting, you know, and we'll talk about how I would just encourage you a little bit in, your people will respond to some expectations if you'll let them sometimes. But anyway, we'll talk about some of that. So I did have a little bit in here, you know, maybe you were thinking, coming talking about organization, about, and I think you had some of that in yours about tools and resources, maybe training, and we can talk about some of that. In my mind, and I think a couple of you have brought in this, when I thought about leading volunteers, I really think about the leader's role in trying to shepherd those people as lay volunteers in your church that have so much crazy going on in their life. You know, you talked about busy schedules and how do you navigate through all that to get a cohesive kind of thing that we can make some music together. I'm just gonna share some things right now that happen to be going on where I'm at, okay? I had lunch last week with a singer in our church who has not been back to church since COVID. The beginning of COVID, and is now separating from his wife and has two elementary age kids. I have a married couple, one sings and one plays, that's caring for their nephew in their home, who was born premature, addicted to drugs, to the guy's brother, and they're in a court case in the process of getting guardianship of that nephew, who's about less than 2 years old now, probably. guardianship, adoption, and that court case has been continued 7 times now when they've showed up for court. I've got a drummer who battles anxiety and depression and had a meltdown a few weeks ago in the middle of rehearsal and threw down his drumsticks and left. I have a recent high school graduate whose parents have moved out of state, but she's staying for the summer until time to go to college. And she sings in a praise team some so she can work her job for a few more weeks. So in the midst of all this family upheaval, her family moving to a new state, she decided to stay. And she's 18 years old, or maybe not quite 18, fixing to go to college. One of my piano players, and many of you probably know him, it's the one that we usually have here playing at the convention. He didn't come this year. He is the president of the regional hospital where we live. And has, because he's the PR face of that, with all the visitation restrictions, he's not been able to come to church through COVID until just in the last 6 weeks. And when we finally had the plan, okay, are you coming to the convention or not, he had to say no at that time. If we didn't know what we know now, he probably would be here. Got two different guys that own or run two of the biggest car lots in our area and probably work 70, 80 hours a week. One's a sound guy, one's a piano player. I have a man in his 60s who plays guitar who just had his knee surgery postponed because his heart is in AFib. I have a young married couple, this is my son, I'm kind of partial to them, who drive 50 miles one way every time they're scheduled for a rehearsal or a service. But they still want to stay plugged into our church because he's my son. But anyway, I have a man who lost his well-paying job because of downsize and been working a job for which he's very overqualified at a drastically reduced salary for 2 months until he found a comparable job. And oh, by the way, his wife just had a baby and they are in the midst of building a house and he's working on a master's degree. I have several college students who are finding their way in life and trying to plug into ministry. I've got them working in our tech ministry and they're just all over the place with schedules and things like that. Now, I didn't say all that to depress you, but I'm sure if we went around the room, all of you will tell stories like that. These are the people that God has placed in this time, in this place, for us to try to minister to and shepherd, and to try to train and develop and help them serve. Because guess what? In the midst of all this, they want to serve. They want to feel like God has a use for their life in His church. And we're giving them that outlet in joining this volunteer musician team. But we have to shepherd those people. We have to shepherd those people. And that's kind of a little bit, why did that just do that when I hit that space bar? It just kind of went away, didn't it? Let me see if I can re-engage that. Well, that's not going to work at all, is it? I thought when you space barred, it was supposed to advance. Maybe I need to do arrows. I'm sorry, guys. I'm showing my tech challenge. Okay, so organizing, training. A big thing for me in working for these volunteers is shepherding these people. I read a quote, a church doesn't need, this is from, by the way, this is from Bob Coughlin, who wrote the book Worship Matters. It's a great book if you don't have that, that'll tell you a lot about not only your philosophy of worship, but also this subject of working with people. He said, the church doesn't need leaders who love to lead people in worship, but don't love the people they are serving. Okay? If I get up and I mass all these people together to play some songs and help our congregation to focus their heart and mind on God, because guess what? They brought all those kinds of things in with them too, the same as the people on the platform. And if I just get those people together and we play through some songs to try to help those people focus on God, and those folks up there, not only these out here, but these folks up here don't feel like I love them, it's not going to be a very cohesive team. It's not going to be a very cohesive team. Romans 15 talks a little bit about this. May the God of endurance, this is verses 5 and 6, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another. It's a great music term, right? In accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to unpack that for a little bit. You know, with one voice, unison. That's the musical term we use, right? One voice, one note, everybody on the same page. We know why we're doing what we're doing. And that's one of the first goals I have in working with these volunteers that are bringing all these problems with them, that you know, that we may with one voice do what we're doing. So how do we get to that one voice? You know, what are some things you've seen that helps those people kind of come together in the purpose of what you're doing at your church?
Spend time together other than in rehearsal.
Good. Spend time together. What else? We kind of learn from each other here.
Have time of worship together other than on stage or other than preparing for a stage.
Mm-hmm. So time of worship together, and that can be incorporated in your time together. You know, hey, why not grill some burgers and have everybody over your house and have a good time eating burgers, but then have a worship time together as well? That would be so enjoyable for your team. I know everybody's busy and you're probably not going to get a time when every one of them will get there at the same time, but you can do it, you know, once every other month and you'll eventually catch everybody. But I also think not only worship time separate apart from on stage, but I think one of the things I try to do is I try to incorporate that worship into the rehearsal and talk about, you know, while we're rehearsing, let's just not learn the notes and the words and how I'm supposed to play this chord. Man, let's focus our hearts and minds on the Lord. You can do that through Scripture. You know, Josh Riggs is leading our band up there this week, and he's kind of like the tech guru and the technical nuts and bolts of what we're doing. He's sort of leading that. And so one of the things he does every rehearsal, man, we just break down. He reads a passage of Scripture. We pray together and we worship together while we're praying and then at other times. And so we want to get everybody on the same page what we're doing. They want to know. I want them to know our purpose, our church's purpose, why we're doing what we're doing, and the purpose for our worship ministry in that. I tell everybody, and I say this to our congregation, I say this to them, what my goal is when people bring all that baggage we're talking about on Sunday morning, I want them for a little while to be able to have a fresh encounter with God through His Word. I'm not talking about a touchy-feely, ooh, encounter with God. Ooh, I'm talking about through His Word. I want them to have a fresh encounter with God through His Word. And what we do musically is meant to lay the groundwork for that to happen and get their heart and mind in the right place. And that's our purpose. I want them to know our motives. Our motive is not to see how slick we can be and how good we can sound on this song. Good we can sound on this song and how many people we can get their hand raise their hands or whatever. I don't care. It's an audience of one. That's our purpose. The kinds of songs we want to do in our church. I want them to know that. You know, you get this. People send you songs. Hey, this is a great song. Can we do this song? And I want that. I want them to do that. But I want to train them to know, look, you know, just because somebody sends it to me doesn't mean we're going to do it. And there may be some right reasons why we don't do it. I want the songs we sing to be grounded in Scripture. I want them to sound good, obviously, but I want them to be grounded in text of Scripture. And so with one voice, that unison of purpose, they want to have that kind of purpose. People that are going to take time out of all these things going in their life, they want to have that kind of purpose. But then in harmony with one another. You got the unison, you got the harmony. We all know what harmony is. Everybody's singing or playing a different note on a rhythm, but they combine in such a way to make a beautiful masterpiece. And here's where maybe some of that training musically might come in, of knowing your role. What's my space I'm supposed to fill with this, my singing or with this instrument? You know, getting people to come as with one voice in harmony so that it all works together. You know, there's a video out. I'm trying to remember who put it out. I probably should have had it to pull up, but it's like somebody was talking about this with your band and how if everybody does everything they can do all the time, what a mess that is.
Don Moen.
Don Moen has that. Thank you. Look up, just you know, YouTube Don Moen, you know, band training or whatever. And it's like he's got all these world-class musicians sitting there. And so they're going to play this little song. I forgot what they're playing, you know, simple little tune. And, you know, at one time, somebody can kind of show out. And it's cool, pretty cool. But if everybody does that all the time, it is a mess. And so you have to talk with these people about, yes, we've got one voice, one purpose, and we all have a role in this thing of harmony. You know, whether you're a soloist, whether you're a guitar player. Jacob Riggs is playing acoustic guitar this week. And he said, he made the comment when we were doing our first sound check and everything Saturday. He said, you know, as I was working through all these rehearsal demos and everything we had, I kind of figured out acoustic guitar is really just a shaker. You know, you know, Jacob is an awesome musician. He could be all over on that thing, but that's not his role this week. You know, a soundboard engineer. Well, all he does is do that slide. Well, guess what? He better know when and how to do that slide in this thing of harmony. Somebody who's advancing slides and lyrics at the right time. Because, you know, it can be too late, and we all know what it's like when it's too late. But can it be too early, too? It sure can. Ain't time to sing it. You know, moving a light board, running a camera for your live stream. And I know everybody's learning about that world now because of COVID, about how do we live stream. And, you know, everybody's got this role. And I want my folks to know, and you want your folks to know, that there's not one role more important than the other. You know, the soloist gets the, oh, that was so beautiful. And, you know, honest, I can't walk 15 feet out this hallway without somebody saying, oh, the music. And I try to every time to go, well, look, it ain't me. You know, Joshua Riggs is back there controlling those guys. And there's guys behind that curtain. You know, it takes everybody. No role more important than the other. You know, that soloist will sing that beautiful song. But if the guy who wasn't there early to set it up and schedule it to go out to live stream, can the person that was home with COVID be blessed by that solo? You know, that's the kind of thing we want to talk about to our folks. We pray together. You know, I try when we have our last prayer at the end of a rehearsal, I try to pray for all those guys up in these booths. We've got a video booth where they're live streaming and recording the service. We've got a sound booth in the house. We've got greeters in the lobby. You know, as we're winding up rehearsal, I try to pray for those roles and let everybody know, hey, there's more than just us up here singing. And then, so we do it with one voice, we do it in harmony with one another, and then I want us to be in accord with Christ Jesus. I want us to be in accord with Christ Jesus, and that's important when we're talking about if we're going to accomplish that goal of helping people have an encounter with God. The people standing up here together, we've got to be in accord with Christ Jesus. I want to know that they're growing in Christ. And it's not just another, you know, busy thing they're doing here. One of the ways I'm trying to achieve a little bit, our church, and we have not started this as a official program at our church, but it's a grassroots thing. And we've started it with our pastors and their wives. We're doing D groups. And all D group is me and three or four other guys that meet together once a week. We have a reading plan where we read the same passages of Scripture during that week, and then we talk about it. We talk about the highs and lows that happened to us during the week. We talk about what stood out to us in that Scripture reading, and we pray together. And as we grow together, it becomes like some accountability. Hey, guys, I'm struggling with this. And I do that. I do that with three other musicians that are a part of our team every week. Matter of fact, two of those guys are here this week playing with us. Our drummer and our bass player this week are two guys from my church that are in my D group. So this is just a great time knowing we can minister together like this. And so, you know, do things like that. And so I said that that's not a main big program. We're not talking about D groups in our church. We're just trying to let that grassroots. We started, like, there are three or four of them doing it, and I think there's now... We go in telling them we're splitting this up after a year. I'm going to meet with those guys for a year with them. At the end of the year, I'm going to take one of them and invite two other people, and two other of them are going to invite two other people, and they're going to have their D groups. And we want that to spread like wildfire through our church. And if people, look, Pastor, if you had a large portion of your congregation reading a chapter of the Bible every day, would that be a blessing to your spirit? You know, it's basic. And so, in accord with Jesus Christ, helping them in their discipleship. That's just one little way. There's other ways. Maybe you have group devotions. I have thought about this. Do any of you, I haven't done it yet, have any of you made your musician team a Sunday school class or a life group or whatever you call it at your church? I've thought about that. I don't want it to become a clique thing. And it's why I hadn't stepped out on that, but I'm wondering, man, if we rehearse up until Sunday school time and then, hey, they're already here for Sunday school and we just have Sunday school right there. So the guy, that could be one benefit. I'd still try not to do that, but you know, that guy or that girl who comes to rehearse and then just doesn't go to a class, goes to Bojangles and gets a biscuit before church, you know, I'll keep them. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to do that or not. But something, any of you tried that? Anybody? Or any other ways you would suggest that, hey, you can help your folks being in accord with Jesus in their walk with the Lord? That you found? Yeah.
One thing we do, and y'all probably do it anyways, but at the end of every rehearsal, I always make sure we end early enough. We gather together in the office, and we take prayer requests. I know it's
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And ours is too. We practice on Wednesday night. This is kind of a plow through. I don't expect it to be a polished practice. We're just plowing through everything Wednesday night. They've had the stuff, and I'll say a little bit more about how I've gotten them all their resources leading up to that rehearsal. But they've had it. We plow through it. Then we come back on Sunday morning early, and we really do a polished rehearsal. And then I can think of maybe one time in the last year that I have not cut that rehearsal off, no matter what it is, 5 minutes before Sunday school starts, because I don't want them to say I couldn't go to Sunday school because I was rehearsing one thing, or we call them life groups or whatever. So yeah, keeping them involved in those things, but I love getting together and sharing those needs. And when we have that prayer time, as I was saying, try to pray for other people. I also ask them if they have needs they want to share that morning. We pray over those as well. Don't let your rehearsal go into Sunday school time. I've been to churches where Sunday school is their rehearsal time. I don't want to cast stones. I wouldn't feel good about that. So just be careful with that. May the God of endurance and encouragement, you know, more important than the time spent teaching vocal parts or sending out charts of music and make sure they know how to play that. I've said this to the past, I want them to know that I care about what they're going through. I want to exhort them when it needs it. You know, the guy that hadn't been since COVID and is separate from his wife, I had a meeting with him the other night, and honestly, some of it was exhortation. Bud, you need to... You know, this can't be lovingly, you know, I want to love him, but I want to encourage and exhort him to endurance. Let him know I care about what they're going through. You know, in our church, we have, you may be in a situation where you're the pastor, and maybe you have one other person, or maybe you're a lone guy trying to do all this. In our situation, we have multiple pastors. We have our lead pastor. We have a student pastor. We have a children's pastor. We had a discipleship and outreach pastor. It was Ben Crabtree, and he's just left to go to Ohio to be their promotional thing. So if you know anybody who wants to come be the connections pastor at Unity, give me their name. We need somebody. But for my people that are working, that are serving in worship ministry, I want to strive through my encouragement and exhortation of them to be the one they would come to. Now, I'm not going to get offended if it's not, because I know I got people that would probably have gone to Ben when he was there, or maybe they got a kid in the youth group, so they're going to go to Jake, our student pastor, or they just want to go to Jeff, our lead pastor, because, you know, they feel like, and that's great, but I want to have an open door where they feel like, man, I can go to Kevin with that encouragement and helping them to endurance. And so that's what I strive to do, you know, in caring about them, being there with their life events. I mean, I try to show up at some of their kids' stuff sometimes, and show up at their stuff sometimes. You know, I've sat, you know, prior to COVID with these court cases. You know, when COVID hit, they wouldn't let you. But prior to that, I sat out there on a bench with them while they were waiting to go into court about that little boy. I just feel like that's how you can show that you care about what they're going through. I've been blessed with longevity where I am. I've been at Unity 21 years now. I was at fellowship in Antioch, Tennessee, right outside of Nashville for 10 before that with Bill Gardner. Y'all remember Bill Gardner? You sing, try being Bill Gardner's music minister. The guy get up there and sing Ship Ahoy. I was with him 10 years at fellowship. So God has blessed me to stay put. And that is so big with working with these volunteers. They know you. They trust you. You've been there. Our church is so blessed. Jeff, our pastor, has been there 31 years. I've been there 21. We've had longevity. And so that helps in that. And so the next part of this is, here's the goal that we talked about, you know, to glorify God and our Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're able to set the tone in leading worship together when we're doing life together like this. And we know we're advancing in our discipleship. So I want to guide them in becoming genuine worship leaders. You know, yeah, I'm called the worship leader, but we're all up there leading worship. I tell my choir, when we had one, y'all pray about that too. Yeah, y'all worship leaders. What are y'all doing about that? Have y'all brought your choir back yet? You have? Okay, how's it going? I was going to try at Easter, and it just didn't happen. People weren't ready. What I'm doing now, I'm sending out the songs we're going to do every week to the whole choir and inviting them to show up at the stage when the countdown starts and just sing our congregational stuff with us, be worship leaders with us. I have praise team that we're rehearsing, but in the choir, they're welcome. I told them, you can come to rehearsal if you want to, but if you don't want to, here's the music, come up and stand behind us. You know, and we'll all just lead worship together. I'm trying to build it back like that. I haven't had a huge response to that yet. I'm trying to figure out how we're going to do that. What I don't want to do, okay, when COVID hit, I moved all my musicians in the choir loft so the stage wouldn't look so bare behind me, instead of to the sides where they were when the choir was up there. But now, if they don't come back, if I say, okay, Sunday after Labor Day, we're having choir back, and I move all that out of there, and, you know, five of them come, it's going to look really bad. So I'm trying to gauge how we're going to do that. Y'all pray about that. And if you get any good ideas about how you're going to get yours coming back, let me know what they are. Pray for them. Set yourself calendar reminders about stuff that you know is important to them. You know, we're busy too. But like, if I know they got this going on, like I've got to go to this thing this day and find out about this, I'll set myself a calendar reminder for later that evening or the next day. Hey, how'd that go? I'm not going to remember that if I don't do that for myself. I'm too scatterbrained. Whatever type of tool you use for something like that, just have one. Get yourself, whether it's a, some people like to write it, some people like a handwritten calendar, some people like it on your phone. Whatever tool works for you. You know, just use that so you can remind yourself how to be involved in their life. We talked about getting together in big group settings and smaller group settings. You know, they need your phone number. They need to be able to call you. They need to be able to come by the office, at, you know, have lunch together. Just connect with them. So that's the thing about shepherding. I feel like I need to start there and then work toward the training. Because guess what? That person who I need to kind of coach along in their playing is going to be a whole lot more receptive to me doing that if I've done the shepherding and the care part. Okay? So, resources, training people up. Let's talk about that a little bit. I did put some of that in there. this is an incredible tool in helping to train volunteer musicians. This is a website called Worship the King. You can sign up for an all access, or you can get them all a la carte things, but they're basically like YouTube videos helping people learn instruments. They got a drum thing, a bass thing, a guitar thing, a piano thing, a keyboard thing. It's called Worship the King All Access. Now, I got a deal on it. Are you familiar with Tom Rainer and Church Answers? He did a partnership with them and offered it through Church Answers. It wasn't cheap, but they broke it down into 10 payments. I think I paid $99 a month for 10 payments to get this all access thing, and I have it for life. 10 payments of $99 and a whole database of these videos that can help people learn worship playing on their instrument. Yeah. It's just
like they have additions that you get with that.
I haven't seen any of that yet. I think they're just kind of a set thing there. And I think they'll probably add to the library as it goes. Matter of fact, I haven't been on in a while, me personally. I've got people that get on all the time. But I imagine they probably do add to it. But it's like a foundations, an intermediate, a thing. And it's a really good tool for everybody from, especially your beginners. You know, I've got kids that want to start learning how to, and I put them to that website. We don't have some of these churches that have the academy, I think it's a great thing. They'll do lessons and all that. I just don't have the resources, structure to do that. So this kind of can take that place, and I can get people started. So that's one thing I would recommend to you, a great training tool. And then once they're coming along in that, you know, in your rehearsal, beginning to talk about, you know, what's the space this instrument is supposed to fill. And that's going to be different on different songs. You know, there's songs that are going to be piano driven. There are songs that are going to be more guitar driven. There are going to be times when, you know, a section of a song has a little more intricate drum thing, and there's going to be times in a section of the song when the drums don't need to be doing anything at all, if much. And so helping your folks as you go through a song, and that'll help you, you know, dynamically, that'll help you even if whatever you're using, whatever you're singing, you know, I don't care what style it is, if you'll take some time in your, if it's a rehearsal, if it's a run through, and say, now look, on this verse, you know, we want to kind of do it this way. On this verse, we're going to kind of ramp it up a little bit, so we want to be a little bit louder. And finding their spaces to do that. We used to have, you know, back in the day, I had several orchestra instruments and a piano and a keyboard and this instrument and that instrument. And it's like what I used to call all skate. You know, when you're at a skating rink and, like, it's not a just the girls, just boys. It's all skate. Everybody in is like, it's like we were all skate all the time. Everybody just blowing their guts out, playing their guts out. And we had to learn how to, you know, that's part of that training. And that will help with that a lot. Some other things that you asked about, the scheduling of people and things like that. Are y'all familiar with Planning Center? My people would probably revolt if I told them we weren't going to use Planning Center anymore. Planning Center as a program is very inexpensive. It's you plug those people and their contact information into that, and then you schedule them through there. And like, I'll schedule about a month or so out, and then once I get everybody who I want to play on this certain Sunday, it sends them an invite. And they can accept it or decline it. They decline it, well, I can't, I'm out of town that day. They can also go in ahead of time. They all have their own login to this app, and there's an app for your phone. They have it on their phone or on the computer. They can go in and block out certain dates when they know they're going to be gone. So right in Planning Center, pull up like a calendar type thing, matrix, and I can plug in, I need a bass player there, I need a piano player there, and I just drag them in there. And then, they're blocked. Oh, can't have that one. Drag him back out. And then once I get all that set, I'll just email all. It sends them an invite, and they accept or decline it. It goes on their little calendar, and they're ready to go. In the same app, what I love about it, that's scheduling, also all the resources they need. You download the music into it. like a demo of the song, the sheet music. You know, you do a PDF of the sheet music or the guitar chart or whatever, and it all goes on that song. So when I make a service plan, matter of fact, we're using it here. Let me just pull up for the convention. If I hit Wi-Fi in here, you can't hardly get service in this convention center. So this is the order of service tonight. And, you know, I've got the order of service. I got the teams. That the Wi-Fi is not going to pull it up. But if I hit teams, it would list all the people, times, what time rehearsals are. But as I build that order of service, I have a song. Like once I've downloaded a song into Planning Center the first time we did it and all the stuff that goes with it, I just drag that song into that service and all those resources come with it. So when they log in and say, oh, I'm on that service, the song's there. They've got their chart, they got their music, they got their thing, and they get. That's how I get them to come to that Wednesday rehearsal ready, so they can do it on their own. My system I do is like for this coming Sunday, I would have made sure all the stuff was in there last Tuesday. So they have it like a week and a half. Well, they have it a week before that first rehearsal. I put it on their Tuesday. If I've already sent out all the invites for the people to that, I'll send out just kind of another one. Say, hey, all the music's in here now on that Tuesday. So then the next day is 1 week from that first rehearsal from that service. Now, some of them that play a little more often said sometimes that confuses them because they're like, wait, we're playing this Sunday or the next Sunday? But they just get, it's the dates on there if they'll look careful. It's a Planning Center is a great tool. I don't have time to tell you all it'll do here, but it is a great, great tool for scheduling people, for getting them their resources. Now, on the front end, it takes a little bit of time for you, especially the first time you do a song. The first time you do a song, you've got to get all the stuff for that song downloaded into that little songs page. All those PDFs and PDFs, MP3s they can listen to and those things. But once you've got that song in there, next time I do that song, it's just dragging it. All of it's there. I love it. I love it. What kind of things do I put in there? I'll put a demo of the original song. Like if it's a hymn, I'll find a recording of it. If it's not the arrangement we're going to do, I'll find one that's close and put in there they can listen to it. I'll put in the piano music for that, what I call the piano vocal. It's the vocal score and the piano accompanying under it, or if it's a hymn, it's like that hymn sheet. I'll put in my guitar players are not good at reading like the little studio charts with the measures. They like word charts, the words of the song with the chords written over top of it. I put that in there. Anything else I can find like that. Now, I have come into the world in the last year or so of STEM files, where a lot of stuff I buy, you can buy that recording of that track. There's a separate file of each instrument. And so, for instance, there's some times where the drummer's not gonna be at rehearsal. I can mix a stem file version with the click for us to play along to. It's got the drums already mixed into it and nothing else, and we'll play along with that. You can put those kinds of things in there. I've just started in the last few weeks with those STEM files. I'll put all those files, all the instruments in there, and I'll in a little free program like Audacity or something, lets you put multiple MP3 tracks in there. And then I'll go for the drummer, for a drum rehearsal, I'll turn the drums way up, louder than everything else. He can still hear everything else a little bit, but he can hear the drums louder. And there's the drum rehearsal version. Then I'll do a new version. I'll back that off and turn the guitar up. There's the guitar rehearsal version. And I'll put all those in there so those players can hear their instrument, what it's doing in the same, you know, if you just give them, here's the drum stem file, there's no reference of what's going on. But if he can hear everything else a little bit and hear the drums loud, you know, that'll help them. If you need to know more about STEM files, and you got to buy those for each song, you know, that kind of thing. I have it's another resource I didn't put up here, Praise Charts. The website's praisecharts.com. You can buy all this stuff through them. They'll have the music, the word charts, the STEM files for a song, and you can just get it all. And I pre-buy stuff. You buy credits on Praise Charts, and then you can just download stuff based on how much of your credit you've put in there. And then when that runs out, you load some more in there. I got 10 minutes. Okay, I'm going to hurry up. So that's Planning Center. A companion app that works right with Planning Center, they're the same company, is called Music Stand. And so here's all that order of service, and if I click on that song, all those files, rehearsal files and stem files and things like that, but that's not what we're going to use to play with. When we're going to go play, we're going to open Music Stand. And for that order of service, where's my app? For that order of service, when I get there, okay, the first song we're doing is Cleanse. This was Sunday nights. And so there's that chart I have for Cleanse. But once I've opened that order of service, I just go to the next song in that order of service. And I go to the next song in that order of service. That's what we actually play along to on Sunday morning. It's tied to Planning Center. Everything I've put in an order of service for Planning Center, I open that order in Music Stand, and I can choose the choir, the vocal music, or the conductor score, or the acoustic guitar chart. Now, again, I don't have Wi-Fi in here, but whatever I choose for that song, when I scroll, that's what's going to come up. You noticed, like for this song, for some reason, I think I just wanted the words of that in front of me, so I had the little word chart with the chords over for that song, but the next song we went to, I had the music for. And what each person has their own login. You see, they have their login for Planning Center. They use the same login for Music Stand. What else they can do is they can hit that little button and this little button, and let's see here, there and there, and make themselves some notes on that. And it was their login, so the next time they pull that up, that same note's there. So they log into Planning Center and Music Stand. So Planning Center is where they get all their resources. They pick which version they want to show up in Music Stand, make themselves notes on it, and then Sunday morning they log in with their email. I have iPads for them. Some of them bring their own, but I have iPads there. They pick up an iPad, log in to Music Stand, and they're good to go with their notes that they've made and things like that. And then you can clear those notes, that kind of thing. Great tools. Those are the tools that we use that I think my people would revolt on me if I said we're not going to use that anymore. You know, I have one piano player that I still print everything for because she just doesn't want to fool with it. And that's fine. That's hitting people where they are, letting them know I care. I can say, no, we've got iPads. You just need to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to print it out for her. I'm going to put it in a folder because that's how she wants to do it. And so that's part of, again, just working with them there. Any questions about either of those apps that we use there? So you delve into them and you'll see a little more about what they're about as you go. Send out, if you want them to appreciate doing it and want to continue, get them their stuff ahead of time. They will enjoy doing what they're doing more. And it doesn't have to be those tools. It could be some other tool that you have found, if they're snail mail it to them in an envelope. But, you know, get it to them a week so that they have it. Now, does that mean I've got some that are more diligent than others? I've got some that I know, man, I've sent it to them and they're going to come and they'd be about ready to do it. I got some that, man, they've opened it up and they've looked at it a little bit of that Wednesday, but at least they've had it, and that puts some expectation and some accountability on them. That drummer I told you about that kind of had the meltdown. Part of that was, I met with him and talked about all that. Part of that was some of our fault, and part of that was some of his fault. On my end, with his anxiety and things that he can't handle multiple coaches at one time. And so what we had was, I'm trying to talk to him, here's what we're shooting for. My big mouth son was in his other ear going, here, do it like this, you know. So I had to shut my son up. But he had several people trying to coach him, and it just, he froze. He couldn't. And so I had to meet with him and say, okay, on our end, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have one voice But now on your end, what I've noticed is he's coming into that rehearsal. I got five more minutes. He's coming into that rehearsal and trying to get out his phone and listen to that, how that song goes. I said, so from our end, here's what we'll do for you. From your end, I need you to put some preparation into this. And you know what? He's responded to that. He's responded to that. As a matter of fact, I really had some uneasiness as I was going to be away this past Sunday. He was going to be the drummer because our main guy was here. And so I met with him ahead of time. I went through all those charts on Planning Center with him, and we made notes together ahead of that rehearsal that he was going to be at. And I was going to be at the rehearsal, but not the Sunday. And he responded to that very well. I've talked to he and others since Sunday. It went very smooth. And if you'll work with your people like that, try to find out where they are. That will help them mesh into this group like we're trying to do. So get them their stuff in a timely manner. Sheet music for some, word charts for some, number charts for some, recordings, rehearsal parts. And we'll just say, why would people want to spend the time required in the midst of all these hectic lives they have here? A little quote I found in a book called The Complete Worship Leader. People are more inclined to participate in ministry if they feel significant, loved, and challenged. If I say, hey, just show up, it'll be fine, we're just going to play that, do they feel challenged by that? No, they want some accountability to it. They want to feel like, hey, what we're doing here is important enough that we need to spend some time in it, and we need to have some resources and tools, and I need some people that know, you know what, if I mess up, it's okay because they love me. So what questions do you have, or that I haven't maybe touched on or whatever?
I'm curious if you have like regular meetings where you intentionally get your team together and ask like questions like that, as far as like how are we communicating, is there anything that we can do better?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a new worship leader and I'm very curious for that kind of information.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't necessarily have a formal meeting for that, but I try to do that in one-on-ones and just ask them, hey, you know, what could it, as a matter of fact, for this deal, I asked several of them, it wasn't a formal meeting, but we were all together. And I said, hey, I'm supposed to do this seminar when I go to Nashville. This was months ago. I said, what are some of the things that you love that I do, and what are some of the things that I just, you want to slap me in the head sometimes? You know, what do I need to tell these people, you know, because you are the volunteers I'm talking about? And I got some feedback like that. I would do that informally and say, you know, what helps you better? And so what I learned through meeting with this drummer, you know, some things that help him deal with that anxiety that I can do during a rehearsal, you know, and that kind of thing. And so I think that's a one-on-one thing. Yeah.
Trying to get, and it's the same people, to show up on time. And I've reevaluated like how am I treating them, trying to shepherd them and do all that stuff. What's been your experience, and how have you responded when there are people that you really want involved, they really want to serve, they have a heart to serve, but when it comes to rehearsal time and expectations on just simply showing up, they just don't.
Who doesn't have one of these yet while I'm answering this question? Can we pass those around the room if anybody? And I'm going to tell you what this is about, and I know we got to go. Grace is the first thing that came to my mind. While at the same time, you know, the expectations of being challenged, setting that kind of culture, you know, I try to do things in a way that if somebody comes unprepared, it's almost it sticks out that they're not prepared, and they almost correct themselves about that. You know, now if it starts to happen over and over and over and over again, then I've probably got to sit down and have a talk with them. As far as late, man, we live in a late culture. I've got, And what I don't want to do, I don't want to like try to be like, well, the really good musician, I cut him slack, but the one who's not as good, well, why weren't you like, you know, I just try to have over a culture of grace. And, you know, I realize now they've gotten, I try to say, hey, well, let me know if you're going to be running late and whatever. And they're good to text me and all that. I really don't have a problem with folks just not showing up out of the blue if they haven't told me ahead of time. But when they do call me and say, hey, man, I've got this going on, I don't think I'm going to be able to get there, I never say, oh, you're kidding me, man, I really need you that night. I say, okay, we'll deal with it. I just want to give that deal of grace because they know the expectation because I've set the culture. But then when it happens, because guess what? Something's going to happen to me sometime. So I want to give that grace. And at the same time, if you'll start on time and end on time, that will help to create a culture like, I got to be there when it says. And we start our rehearsal when the time says to start. I don't care who's there. If it's just me and the banjo player, we're starting. And they'll all come in and they're running in and they're getting their ears on and I'm late because they know. But if you wait on them, that'll tell them that's no big deal they were late. So that's one thing I would do. This little piece of paper that I've been handing around is something the Music Commission, you know, our goal is to help people that are doing ministry in churches every day. How many of you are part-time or volunteer music leaders? Okay. I know we have some full-time in here too, but we know there's a lot of part-time volunteer people out there, and we want one of the Music Commission's goals and purposes is to help you. We're doing these on-site worship workshops now. We're taking applications for them this week. The deadline to apply is Thursday, the day after the National, because we can't do every church that would love to have us. There's only so many of us. But for 2 days, you could have an experienced worship leader come and just kind of coach your team a little bit, like a Friday, Saturday. We can't do a Sunday because we all got our own ministries. And there's a couple little talking points I think I'm forgetting. So forgive me for opening up my phone and reading what they want me to say about those. It's been a long time in the making for us. YouTube videos and articles online are helpful. I shared you some of those, but sometimes it's helpful to have customized training specifically for your church. Our Music Commission is doing this new initiative for encouragement, musical training, and practical application. Free Will Baptist churches can apply, have an experienced leader come and offer that custom training. It's a 2-day event. It's not to change your musical style. It's just to help you with whatever you're doing. I don't care what style you do. You do what God has called you to do where you are. And if it looks like what I'm doing, great. If it doesn't, hey, man. Look, my son goes to church in Kansas, and they opened their service with an old Rambo song, See the Bright Light Shine. And they went straight from there into Waymaker. And you know what? The congregation was equally up and engaged in both of them. It's just an incredible place. I love that place. So we're not changing styles. We just want to help you doing what you're doing. Deadline applies Thursday the 22nd. And you can do the Music Commission, some worship leader, experienced guy, come coach for $500. For $500, you can add, and somebody from the Media Commission would come and help you with your tech, your sound, your just whatever kind of thing you got going on there. It's all the information is on these little handouts, and there's more information at fwbworship.com. We're only going to take like probably about 6 over the course of the year applications. If you apply and we can't do it though, we'll give you a free 2-hour Zoom session with as many people as you want in there. But we come in person for a couple of days. If we couldn't do that and you applied, we'll at least do a Zoom session with you. So look into that if that interests you. I know we've gone over time and they want us out of this room, right? But thank you for coming. I hope it's been a help to you.